This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity, with resources available in a connected age, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 50. Today, we'll be discussing the parable of the hidden treasure. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into classic Christianity. In the summer of 2012, when I was developing the process to create this podcast, I thought through a number of ideas of what to call it. I wanted to present topics which often would not be well known, but which I thought would be beneficial and helpful to those listening who want to explore areas of Christianity a bit more deeply. What I did eventually settle on, as you would guess, was Finding Hidden Treasure. There is a set of parables on which I based the podcast name. They are parables which the Lord Jesus told and speak of the value of finding a hidden treasure. Today, we will be discussing the parable of the hidden treasure. A parable is a story with a moral or religious lesson. The term parable comes to us in the English language from Old French, Latin, and Greek. It has carried the meaning of comparison or analogy. In the Greek, it bears the meaning of something thrown alongside of. In the parables found in the Gospels, you find stories which contain references to the times and circumstances of those who first heard these parables. They are intended to convey a deep spiritual lesson. Many of these parables are well known, both within and outside of Christian circles. Perhaps the best known of the Lord Jesus' parables are the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal, or the wasteful son. One very counterintuitive aspect of the Lord Jesus' use of parables is why he taught using this format. For many years, and from different persons, I've heard that Jesus taught in parables to make his point clearer to his hearers by using features of everyday life in first century Israel. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we find the Lord Jesus telling us the following. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them.'" That was Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15. In quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, the Lord Jesus tells us that the reason he spoke in parables was to conceal the meaning of his teachings, not to make them generally easier to understand. If we are going to understand any of the Lord Jesus' parables, it will require God to show us what these parables mean. In the 13th chapter of Matthew is a wonderfully compact set of lessons on Jesus' parables. We find here the parables of the sower and the seed, weeds sown among wheat, the mustard seed, leaven, a dragnet, and the wisdom of the head of a household. We find also the Lord Jesus' explanations of the parables of the sower and the seed, and the seeds sown among wheat. In the midst of this chapter are two parables which many commentators see as a single parable, namely, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the costly pearl. Christ does not supply his interpretation of these parables here or elsewhere in Scripture. To try to understand what is intended must be approached with humility and prayer, knowing that these parables cannot be understood properly unless God's Holy Spirit is providing the help. In terms of the amount of text which these two parables take up, they are the shortest. The parable of the hidden treasure takes up only one verse of Scripture, while the parable of the costly pearl takes up two. Let's take a look at some of the background of the parable of the hidden treasure. we read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." There are a few things to note here. At this time in the ancient world, it was not uncommon for items to be buried as a means of keeping them safe. Commentators actually have a range of opinions as to how common it would be to find buried treasure. According to rabbinic law, if a worker came across buried treasure in someone else's field and lifted it out, the treasure would automatically belong to the owner. Ethically, the one who accidentally came across the treasure had to be careful not to lift it out, but to keep it in place. To obtain this treasure, which would have been far surpassing the value of all that this person had, the finder would have sold everything and would do so joyfully, so that he could buy the field and the hidden treasure located in it. The parable has been linked to the one which immediately follows it in the text of Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the hidden treasure points us to something so valuable that you are willing to sell all you have to obtain it. That is the common theme between this and the parable of the pearl of great price. However, in the hidden treasure parable, the one who finds it comes across it accidentally, but is instantly ready to pay the price for this treasure of untold value. In the parable of the pearl, the merchant is on a purposeful search for the one great pearl. Only mention of these two parables in the Bible is here in the text of Matthew chapter 13. It must be noted that when the Lord Jesus gives these two parables, the only audience is his disciples. The parable of the pearl of great price has a rather interesting parallel in Jewish oral history of the first century. At this time in history, a collection of the teachings of the rabbis was being passed along orally and would eventually be written down in collections. In the 16th chapter of one set of teachings known as the Tractate Shabbat, we find reference to the following. Joseph, who honored the Sabbath, had a rich Gentile for a neighbor. The astrologers told the Gentile that all his goods and possessions would eventually be eaten up by Joseph, his neighbor. He went and sold out all his goods, and with the proceeds bought a precious pearl. This pearl he had set in his turban. While crossing a lake one day, the wind blew off his turban and it fell into the water. A fish swallowed it. Subsequently, the fish was caught by fishermen late on the eve of the Sabbath. Said the fishermen, "Who will buy this so late in the evening?" They were told by some people to go to Joseph, who honored the Sabbath, and that he usually bought such things. They carried it to Joseph, who bought it, and upon opening the fish, he found the pearl, which he sold for 13 boxes of gold dinars. A certain old man met this Joseph and said to him, "He who lends to the Sabbath is repaid by the Sabbath itself." Jesus' disciples may have been familiar with the story, as well as the first hearers and readers of the Gospel of Matthew, which biblical scholars believe was directed to a Jewish audience. The account given later in Matthew's text in chapter 17, verses 24 through 27, about how the Lord Jesus directed Peter to catch a fish, which would have a coin in its mouth for paying the temple tax, would also remind a Jewish audience of the story in Tractate Shabbat. The parallel of Joseph, who honored the Sabbath, would easily be seen in the Lord Jesus himself, who is described in the same gospel in chapter 12 and verse 8 as the Lord of the Sabbath. So, how should we understand these parables? Two major schools of interpretation have developed about who is the treasure finder and merchant, as well as what is the hidden treasure and what is the pearl. The first school holds that Christ is the finder of the hidden treasure and the merchant who purchases the pearl. The reasoning goes that Christ offered himself fully to his people, first by becoming human, and then by allowing himself to die to redeem his people from their sins. The second school holds that Christ's people are the finder and merchant, while Christ himself is the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. We do need to exercise caution here in our interpretations of these two parables. If one holds to the first school of thought, we need to remember that our value is found in Christ and not simply in ourselves. If you hold to the second school, there is no money, resources, or good works which we can use to buy our way into eternal life. Believers must be ready to lay aside all things for Christ and treat them as rubbish for the sake of knowing Christ. See Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. But we can't earn our way or work our way to Christ. Two Puritan ministers of the 17th century really brought home how much Christ is our hidden treasure. Thomas Watson wrote, "God is known to be our reward by the delight we take in him," Psalm 37, verses 4 through 8. "How men please themselves with rich portions, what delight a bride takes in her jewels. Do we delight in God as our eternal portion? Indeed, he is a whole paradise of delight. All excellencies meet in God. Is ours a genuine delight? Do we not only delight in God's blessings, but in God himself? Is it a superior delight? Do we delight in God above other things? David has his crown revenues to delight in, but his delight in God took place over all other delights." Psalm 43, verse 6. "God, my exceeding glory," or as it is in the original, "the cream of my joy." Can we delight in God when other delights are gone? Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. When the flowers in a man's garden die, yet he can delight in his land and money. Thus, a gracious soul, when the creature fades, can rejoice in the pearl of great price. John Owen, a contemporary of Watson and a fellow Englishman, mixed together the substance of these parables when he wrote, "We should herein be as the merchantman that seeks for pearls. He seeks for all sorts of them, but when he has found one of great price, he parts with all to make it his own." Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. The scripture is the field, the place, the mine where we search and dig for pearls. See Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Every sacred truth that is made effectual unto the good of our souls is a pearl whereby we are enriched. But when we meet with, when we fall upon this pearl of great price, the glory of Christ, this is that which the soul of a believer cleaves unto with joy. In closing, I think that there are some points concerning these two parables on which all schools of thought would agree. Obtaining the kingdom of heaven, which I believe is the same thing as being in Christ. Besides, would heaven be heaven for a Christian if Christ were not there? In being a part of that kingdom is a value for which we would be willing to pay any cost. There are some who, from a human perspective, have found it accidentally. Perhaps for them, being introduced to Christ and to the gospel was a seeming set of coincidences which they did not set up. For others, who have gone on a quest for the truth, have arrived at, or better yet, shown by God, that what the Bible says about Christ and the gospel is really true. They have sought for the answer of life and found it in Christ. Value of the treasure and the pearl might be hidden from others and not properly understood by them. That should in no way deter us from quickly choosing to take action to obtain the ultimately valuable, namely Christ himself. What I find interesting is that the two schools of thought about the finder merchant and the treasure and the pearl are really mirror images of each other. Christ did pay the ultimate price to obtain the inheritance of his people. Christ's people are called to imitate him, and in doing so, must place a singular value on what is eternal and true, and lay aside the temporary as well as the illusions and lies that truth, beauty, and goodness can be found outside of God in Christ. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. We hope you will join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.